Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. We look at two passages. The Gospel of Matthew is our main passage. Matthew in chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy as a wise man. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'll change my hair. Interesting. Now, there are three types of gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus. Number one is gold, and number two, frankincense, and number three, myrrh. And this was what the Lord Jesus Christ received when he was a very young child, and less than 2 years, between possibly 1 to 2. And there seems to be a great celebration even in the Bible days, because in the Bible days, they don't have a celebration like we have today. We're all over the world at Christmas time on December 25th, all over the world. People celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, it's only a tradition because Jesus was not actually born on December 25th. And according to the Bible chronology, he possibly was born in April. And say, why are you celebrating December 25th? Well, it's good that we have a day to just celebrate that and thank God for that. And anyway, December 25th is a Jewish feast too. And it's one of the feasts of Esther that you will notice mentioned in the book of Esther. So some people trace December 25th to the celebration of the sun god, and they say therefore celebration of Christmas is evil. And so you cannot have Christmas tree. And they say, what about coconut trees? And it's Christmas is not a time to go against something. Christmas is not a time, it doesn't make us more spiritual just because you don't celebrate Christmas. See, what you don't do doesn't make you spiritual, it's what you do. And so some people think that they don't do this, they don't do that, therefore they're more spiritual. No, spirituality is what you do in God. In your private life, you increase in worship, increase in prayer, increase in the word, and what you do in God. And since the world has dedicated this holiday, what the most wise thing to do is to take it and use it to the glory of God. And that's what we have done. We've taken this day and we use it to the glory of God. It's a time to celebrate in our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice that here, the wise men who came, they give three gifts. And before that, the very night that Jesus was born in the Gospel of Luke, We all know that story so well, the Gospel of Luke, how the angels proclaimed to the shepherds about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus Christ, being born in a manger. And he said that the sign that you'll see is a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, and he was found in a manger. It's amazing that when the Lord Jesus came to this world, hardly any of his own people knew. Where were the prophets? They came much later at his dedication. Where were doctors of the law? Where were the rabbis who preached the Messiah from the pulpits of the synagogue year after year, day? A significant event happened, and none of his people were there. Of all people, it was humble shepherds who were not scholars of the word. Wise men who were not even Jews. Where were were his own people who knew the word and who knew the law. Where were they? They were supposed to be the one expecting the Messiah. And remember, behind this Christmas story, for nearly 4,000 years, men have been waiting for the Messiah. It was prophesied even for Adam's time that the seed of the woman shall come. And then in Abraham, God pointed to the seed, capital S, and shall come. They will bless the whole world. And then in all the other times of the prophets, they prophesied, he's coming, he's coming. David says, you know, one of his descendants is coming, and there will be the one of the seed of David. And it's prophesying after different generations. Isaiah prophesied about the Messiah coming, and all the prophets prophesied. Micah prophesied that he will be in Bethlehem. Finally, the day comes, and nobody was aware. Isn't it amazing? Thousands of people look forward to that day, and the day come, and there was no reception. I used to ask the Lord, I said, Lord, why do the angels make such a celebration? I know it's great. And the Lord says, it's because a prophetic word has come to pass. See, every time a prophetic word comes to pass, whether human beings are aware or not, there's celebration in heaven. And even more, because this prophetic word has been on for nearly 4,000 years before Jesus Christ came on the scene. Now the day is coming when every generation that we know in the church age, since the book of Acts, says Jesus is coming. And then the voice that sounded and echoed through the corridors of time saying, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. 1,000 years passed, and the people in 1,000 years ago in the church is saying, Jesus is coming. Just over 700 years ago, the great prophet said, Jesus is coming. Now we are living in this decade saying, Jesus is coming. And I tell you, we are nearer than ever before, but the nearer we get, people get weary. Jesus is no more the babe in Bethlehem. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day that prophetic word will come to pass in the great rapture of the church. Maybe not get weary. May not be that only the angels will know. And those in the word do not hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, Jesus is coming, and his coming is near. May not be a people far away like wise men from the east. May be his own people. May he come to his own, and his own receive him. Now there were three gifts that were brought to Jesus because they are symbolic. Number one, gold. Number two, frankincense. And number three, myrrh. And these three point to number one, the knowledge of God. Number two, the power of resurrection. Number three, the fellowship of his suffering. God has been used throughout the whole Old Testament in the holy place and in the holy of holies. God reminded that only pure gold is used in the making of Moses' tabernacle and Solomon's temple. The holy place was all, every part and every instrument was covered or made from gold. Same with the holy place and the holiest of all, holiest place of all, holy of holies. Gold was a symbol of purity. Purity. And God is saying, blessed are the pure in heart. When you see gold, remember the message. God is saying, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall know God. They shall know God. And every time you look at the gift of gold, remember, We must be pure. We must be free from sin. We must be free from the things of this world. Christmas is not a time to move into sin. In the world out there, Christmas Eve is the time people move into sin. People move into the flesh. People move into debauchery and revelry. The gift of Christmas, number one, is gold. We, the first message God is saying, we must be pure. We must be free from the guilt of sin, the penalty of sin, the power of sin. Totally free from the grip of the enemy. Number two, frankincense. Frankincense is and myrrh are two of the ingredients in the anointing oil of Moses in the book of Exodus. Frankincense is also used in its pure form to be placed upon the showbread. In the holy place in Moses' tabernacle in Solomon's temple, they had a table of showbread on which we had 12 loaves of bread. And on the 12 loaves of bread, the loaves of bread were changed. They were changed once a week. You had to change bread once a week. There has to be some supernatural kind of power that flows in order to preserve the bread, because that bread has to be eaten too. So frankincense was used to and placed on the bread, the show bread. Frankincense has a very strong aroma. In its pure form, it's one of the strongest perfumes. And you use it, we will know it. Just like the durian. You eat it, we will know it. Of course, it doesn't smell quite as bad as the durian. And there's a great fragrance and aroma. It symbolizes the redeeming, resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It also symbolizes, in that sense, the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, in redemption, in resurrection, it can only take place when a higher realm of authority takes dominion over the lower law of sin and death. It's when the law of the spirit of life, Zoe, supersedes the law of sin and death. In gold we see cleansing and purity. In frankincense we see life and righteousness. See, in gold we see cleansing. Every time the Bible talks about gold, it talks about being purified. You notice that? Pure like gold. Purify. The purifying process. The cleansing process. After we are cleansed, after we have been put into the fires and the dross have been burned out of our life, we become clean vessels. And now God takes his life and takes his resurrection power and takes his righteousness. Righteousness in the New Testament is a substance. Takes his righteousness and life. And now he puts it into us. That's frankincense. It's now impartation. So gold says Jesus came to purify. Frankincense, Jesus came to impart. To pour himself and his life and his righteousness into us. So that we be like him. And then number three, myrrh. Myrrh speaks about suffering. see, after you receive the life of God, it's not going out and quote-unquote playing God and acting God. But it's going out showing the true God, whom God is. The English expression of playing God and acting God speaks about someone who takes great pride and authority and who oppresses others. But when Jesus Christ came, he showed us that that impression of God is wrong. God is not the oppressor, he is the deliverer. He tells us that God is love. Even with his great might and authority, he is a God of love. And he is able to long suffer, to bear with our frailties, to live in our midst. God became flesh, Jesus Christ. And he lives in our midst. We see his life and we say, is this God? And the Bible declares, he is God. Manifest in the flesh. But what a God. A God who says he is willing to come down and suffer. And take upon himself the sufferings of humanity. That's love. He's saying, with all the purity that he is, with all the life of God that he is, heal the blind, heal the lame, open deaf ears, loose the tongue of the dumb. So all the power and life that he is, he came to humble himself and take the cross and suffer for us. The cross of Calvary. Speaking to us that purity and impartation leads us to the fullest ability to understand the fellowship of his suffering. To the degree that we are cleansed from sin, to that same degree we could enter into the fellowship of his suffering. See, if we are not pure, we cannot understand the love of Jesus and his long-suffering and his mercy. All through his life, he concentrated on those three. Purifying, impartation, and suffering, which is also giving. So before you can actually give, you must be pure. And before you can actually give, you must also receive from God. So having been cleansed, having received, now he gives his life in suffering for us. Telling us that giving is the third stage in the whole plan of God. You cannot bless unless you are blessed. You cannot give unless you have received from God above. You cannot share the gifts of God in your life unless God has given it to you. But before God gives it to you, God pours his blessings on your life, you have to be clean. You have to be pure. Those three gifts symbolize the three messages. Gold, purity, frankincense is impartation of his life. Myrrh, the act of giving. That God purifies the sin. And what's important is this. If your giving comes at the third stage in God, it's powerful. It's powerful. When you release it, all the backing of heaven is behind it. Because it's not you who do it. It's God now who's doing it. And people will see God in what you do. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Jesus speaks about the same thing again. When the Holy Spirit comes, in verse 9, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. He will purify, he will impart, and he sends us into the world to give to others the message of God, the love of God, the gift of God. Christmas is not just giving. It includes giving. Christmas is first, before giving, purity. See, if you're impure, you'll be celebrating Christmas like the world in their impurity. Not the true spirit of Christmas. Giving is on the tree. Christmas message is first, purity. That's the spirit of Christ. Number two, receiving from God, the life of God, impartation of God. And then number three, giving. And that's where it's spiritual giving with a natural included. So, you see, the Holy Spirit came to do the same thing in our life. Convict our sin so that we could be free from it and turn from sin. In verse 9, it says of sin because they do not believe in Jesus. You believe in him, you have never known Jesus as Lord and Savior. Before you can really enter into the spirit of Christmas, you need to be free from sin. Jesus didn't come to promote or to encourage sin, to condone sin. He came to remove it. So we have to be free from that. Then number two, receive righteousness. Righteousness is a gift of God. And the spirit is righteous, there is life that comes in. Number three, then you have the authority of God to go out, cast demonic power down, tear down strongholds in people's lives, and be truly able to give the message of Christmas to those who do not know him. The message of the gospel, the message of the love of Jesus, message of the love of God. We conclude with the cry of Paul's heart in the book of Philippians chapter 3. Paul, in the height of his ministry, after doing many things for the Lord, he still cries for those three. Paul cries for gold. Paul cries for frankincense. And Paul cries for myrrh. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him. That's gold. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Greek word see involves knowing, intimate knowledge of God. That's gold. And it says, and the power of his resurrection, that's frankincense, his life in us. My life is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. It's in him and he in us. That's frankincense. And number three, the fellowship of his suffering. Be willing to give. Some people, they only desire the gold. They want to be pure, but they forget that the purpose of purity is that in the end you'll be a light for the world. Some people desire the frankincense. All they want is God, 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 God. I want more of you, God. Oh, God, I want more of you. More blessings of you. Oh, God, I want more. They forget. And they don't want the myrrh, the fellowship of his suffering. So at this time, God is speaking to us and saying, are you balanced? Are you just a gold Christian? A frankincense Christian? Or a myrrh Christian? And some would just emphasize on the moral side. But remember, if you emphasize on this and you don't have the other two, it feels very empty over here. And may this Christmas day and this Christmas time, may we remember to be balanced. May we receive the fullness of the three picture that Jesus came to bring to the world, that Jesus received in picture form, symbolic form, from the wise men. He received gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And Paul, at the height of his ministry, cried not for one, not for two, but for three. Three things, he said. After that is Paul's three heartbeats. All he wanted from life was just three things. To know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. Go to God in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, O God, that you seal this truth into our hearts and our lives. We ask you, Father God, that you would transform our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. That we would, Father God, catch a vision of Jesus Christ. In all that he came to bring, all that he came to give. We pray, Father God, as we celebrate Christmas in the spirit of your Son, that we may enfold and embrace the fullness of your message, the fullness of the message of Christmas into our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Shall we rise together?